My place in tech changes every day, but I don't fear the future because I'm with the leader, Pluralsight. Their online learning platform has the hands-on, expert-led courses I need to master new tech skills and create bigger impacts so I can learn quickly and stay ahead. With Pluralsight, I don't fear what's next. I embrace it. Tap in at Pluralsight.com and see for yourself.
This is Emily Thomas, and you are listening to the Mom Struggling Well podcast. Hey, friends, you have got episode 94 here, and this is the Mom Struggling Well podcast. I hope you know that. Hope you know what you're listening to. In this show, we move from just struggling in our amazing role as mom to struggling well. There is a difference, and it is possible. Today, I am chatting with my friend Heather Haupt. She and I met years ago at a conference, and we have been friends ever since. She's one of those super creative moms who loves researching, mind-blowing activities to do with her kids. We all have different strengths. Say that because that is not my strength. It would be so cool if it was, but I'm good at other things. I'm sure of it. In this chat, she shares how she took a regular old activity that her kids were interested in and turned it into a family-wide challenge. It was such a good idea that it's now a book. And I wanted to share her with you because number one, it really was such a good idea that she had. And number two, I want to inspire you to maybe take an interest that your kids have and turn it into a character building experience. Anybody could do it. I mean, anybody who's super creative and into that kind of stuff could do it. And maybe that's you. So be inspired by Heather's story. And the rest of us, we can just buy her book. Before we get started, I wanted to tell you about this week's sponsor, Prep Dish. Moms, you're going to love this. This week, I made some of those noodles out of sweet potatoes. In my house, for some reason, everybody is so anti-sweet potato except me. I can't even get anybody to look at them. Well, turn them into noodles, make them in a Prep Dish meal. They were all over them. My daughter, while I was cooking them, said, "Do not tell me those are sweet potatoes." And I took that to mean she did not want me to tell her that they were sweet potatoes. So I didn't. And guess what? She loves sweet potatoes. She just doesn't know it. That is all thanks to Prep Dish. I've been trying for years to get that girl to eat sweet potatoes. Thank you, Prep Dish. If you sign up for Prep Dish, you get a healthy meals emailed to you every week. You get a grocery list and you get instructions for your prep day. And after just a couple hours, like really just a couple, you have all your meals ready for the entire week. If you visit prepdish.com/MSW, the founder, Allison, is going to give all Mom Struggling Well listeners a free 2-week trial. So you might as well give it a try. You have nothing to lose, and you have the possibility of your kids liking sweet potatoes. So head to prepdish.com/MSW and sign up for your 2-week free trial today. All right, guys, let's go ahead and get started on my chat with Heather Haupt. Hey, Heather, how are you today?
I am doing well. How are you?
So good. I'm a little tired. It's been a long day. I'm the type of tired that I don't exactly know what happened today. I just know that I feel like it's been 3 days long, you know?
Yeah. But you made it and you're still here.
Thank you.
And you're coherent.
I am. Well, yeah, we haven't gotten that far into the interview, but yeah, somewhat coherent. So will you please tell us about you and your sweet family?
So my name is Heather Haupt, and I have 4 kids, 3 boys who are 12, 10, and 9, and then I have a little girl who is 5.
Okay. Wow, this picture I'm looking at on Skype is super old because she's about 6 months old.
Yeah, she was teeny tiny.
Okay. I was like, she's 5? The tiniest 5-year-old I've ever seen. And so you are actually from Arizona like me, and what brought you to Texas? Because now you're in Texas like me. Are you following me? Or am I following you?
I followed you.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure.
I've been here 4 years.
We've been here too.
Okay.
So we needed a new job. And God supernaturally opened up doors here and made it so abundantly clear that we up and packed. And it was a whirlwind, very quick transition.
But you're finding it lovely now?
It is. It's so green here, which
I know.
Is something that people from Arizona envy.
Oh, I know. Grass in every front yard, like it's nothing.
Yeah. I do not enjoy the humidity, but I love the green. And you can't have one without the other, so.
It's true. What did you think about all the stars on the freeways and all the stars on the houses? Do you have a star on your house? Are you a Texan?
No.
Have you assimilated?
But I am like this close to wanting to get a star, which is amazing because growing up, I thought Texans were obnoxious. Mm-hmm. And I said, never Texas. And God laughed and sent us to Texas. And so, yeah.
It's funny. It's a thing. It like kind of grows on you.
It does.
Because I remember thinking the same thing, like, get over yourself. And then I'm like, don't mess with Texas. It's so weird.
They do have epic history. We read up on Texas history when we got here. And I said, okay, they're able to boast. They've got pretty epic history.
So good. I have not read up on it. Don't know a whole lot about it, but I trust you.
It's big.
All right. So you recently wrote a book and it's about raising boys. And I love the topic. It's so important. And I just kind of wanted to ask you, where did that start? In your book, you mentioned that we do not want to raise a typical boy. And so I want you to tell me, what is a typical boy? I loved how you kind of outlined what that was. And because it's so true, why do we not want that?
Yeah, well, I think when we think of that stereotypical boy, we think of someone who is zoned out playing video games, who's lazy, who is not out there getting a job. Or they're so full of machismo and bravado and they're obnoxious. Mm-hmm. And we have these stereotypes floating around. And when we start to look at some of the statistics, we're seeing some disturbing trends with some of the younger generation of young men. Okay. And so I know it's really easy to look out there and go, oh my goodness, look at all this. And we see a lot of people talking about the problems that are out there.
Yeah.
But I haven't seen a whole lot of in the trenches help. And being a mom, as you know, is really hard.
Yeah.
And it's really easy to check out and just go, oh, well, whatever, because it's the norm. So I guess I was looking at it once I realized, whoa, God gave me three boys.
Yeah.
I wanted to raise my boys well. I wanted them to know who they were, to be secure in their masculinity. Mm-hmm. And to avoid some of the pitfalls that I was seeing.
So what trends are you seeing?
Well, one, and this is actually both men and women, but specifically men are marrying a lot later in life.
Okay.
And what I thought was really interesting is I was looking at it going, oh, well, my theory was that they were so immature that they didn't want to go out and get married. They just wanted to party.
Okay.
And they wanted life to be a party. And to me, that was my theory on why we were seeing these statistics out there. Mm-hmm. And then when I was researching for the book and I started looking out there, I realized that's not the reason why men aren't getting married earlier. They're actually not getting married because women don't want to marry them. Because men actually, the guys want to get married because they go from being dependent on mom and dad to looking and going, oh, there's a woman who will take care of me and she'll work a job and she'll raise the kids and she'll feed me. And so they just sort of transfer that dependence on mom and dad to dependence on a woman. And so what we're seeing now, what they're seeing statistically is that women don't want that.
Yeah.
The reason is not because men don't want to get married, but it's because women don't want to marry boys. Yeah. They would like to marry a man.
Yeah. So what are you seeing in the culture that's making that a thing? Like, I know they're just portrayed as dummies on television. I hate that when men, especially like husbands, are just talked down to and they're just stupid. Is that happening in with boys too?
Yeah. Well, if you look at a lot of movies, in fact, I talk about it in my book, The Lego Movie. And my boys love The Lego Movie because they're obsessed with Legos.
Yes.
But what do we see with that character? I mean, he goes to work and then he comes home and he sits on his couch and he watches mind-numbingly stupid TV shows.
Yeah.
And then he is called upon to save the day, but he can't really do it without a woman coming in to help him.
Mm.
And he's just sort of, he's portrayed as this bumbling fool who somehow in a roundabout way still manages to save the day thanks to his female sidekick.
Almost on accident. Like he kind of didn't need to be there.
Almost on accident.
Yeah.
And so what we're doing is our kids are being bombarded with these messages over and over and over again. And so they start to internalize that. That's what guys are. And that's their identity.
Yeah.
And then they start living out what they're absorbing. Okay. And so that's where I wanted to give my boys good heroes. Okay. I wanted to give my boys an ideal to want to aspire to be like.
Can I just ask, as a woman, how did you know what that even kind of looked like?
I talk to people. I think there's something inside of us as women that we want men to be strong.
Yeah.
There's something that seems really off kilter when a man is dependent on us.
Yeah.
But I mean, I sort of grew up with a little bit of like, I consider myself a little bit of a modern day feminist.
Okay.
So I feel like I should be strong and I can sort of take care of myself and this and that. And yet I don't feel like I should have to put a man down to elevate myself, if that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so that was sort of an attitude I brought into my marriage and it really helped. I read a parenting book on boys. So I was complaining about my husband and someone gave me Dr. Dobson's Bringing Up Boys and told me I had to read it. She's like, you have to read this. You'll get your husband. I'm like, what?
You'll understand your husband when you read that book?
And so I read it. I'm like, oh my gosh, that's the way he's wired.
Okay. It just helped you realize how different you guys are.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so things that I was complaining about, I realized they weren't defects in my husband. They were just, he's a man and I'm a woman and we think different.
So what are some of those for a woman who's like pretty sure she's got a dead husband? Help her understand that she doesn't.
Men are action oriented, whereas women are relationship oriented. Okay. So as a woman, when we walk into a situation, we sort of assess what are people's feelings here? What's going on? Mm-hmm. We are concerned about the process, making sure that it's peaceful, making sure that people are getting along, that people aren't alienated. Whereas when I would go to my husband with a problem, what I was wanting was compassion and just sort of empathy, like, oh man, you really had a hard day.
Yeah.
And instead he would move right into, let me solve your problem, Heather, and take your problem away. And it would irritate me. I'm like, no, you're not listening to me.
Okay. Yes.
And so as I started studying the differences between men and women and boys and girls, I started realizing that we are just wired different. And so it helped me appreciate the strengths. Like I bring strengths into our marriage, our family, and my husband brings strengths in. And then as we look at our kids, our sons and our daughters each bring different strengths to family dynamics, to friendship dynamics. And once we start to recognize what those strengths are, then we can really appreciate them and utilize them.
Yeah.
And work with them instead of against them.
Yeah, so important. So where did you go to start building this framework that ended up a book?
Well, it started, we were learning about the Middle Ages. Gosh, my kids were 6, 4, and 3. And so they were wanting to do knights and they had pulled out their swords and of course, what boy does not want to learn about that?
Yes.
And do battles. And so they're doing that. And I'm looking going, oh, yeah, we're going to do chivalry here because I want you guys to be gentlemen. And so I went and I started researching chivalry. I'm like, OK, how do I want to do this? Because I'm a research nut.
Are you? OK.
Yeah. I would spend every evening on the internet. My husband would tell me, you're wasting time, Heather. And I'd say, no, I am researching.
So good.
So it is work. I am working. And always working. And what I found shocked me. I had always thought that chivalry was opening doors for ladies and showing deference and care and respect for women. Uh-huh. And I discovered that it was so much more than that. It was an entire way of living.
Really?
And so that blew me away. And so when I started reading about the historical code of chivalry, I was really inspired. And I said, these are ideals that I want my boys to embody. And this is really what makes a man.
Okay. And each chapter, are there 10 of them, right, in your book?
Yeah.
The actual code of chivalry and you kind of outlined them each or what?
Yeah. The interesting thing with it, you'll see a lot of internet resources talking about the code of chivalry as if it was a really itemized specific set of rules.
Okay.
It was more of a set of guidelines and sort of principles that were interspersed in the literature. And so I took 10 aspects of the code from 19 that were pulled out of a French epic poem that depicted events that happened in the 8th century. And so there was this epic poem and it described what was valiant manhood and what was not. It really juxtaposed the two.
Oh, okay.
And so it's fascinating and it's very violent. I'm like, oh, violence is not a new thing. It was very bloody and gory. And I read bits and pieces of it to my husband and he just ate it up.
Of course. Isn't that interesting how they love that stuff? My husband is like the kindest, most gentle man and he loves a boxing fight. And I'm like, I don't understand. I can't even look at that.
Yes.
I mean, he's not in them. You understand.
Right. So I read that and I'm like, oh my gosh, we are doing night training. And so I just picked out of the 19, I picked 10 that I thought would work well and really translated well to the lives of children.
Okay.
And some of them were sort of redundant, but I picked 10. I printed it off in a cool font and posted it on the wall. And I called the boys over. I said, okay, boys, we're going to do night training.
It's so fun, Heather.
And so I said, you guys are going to get to train to become real knights. We need modern day knights. And they became so excited. And so I started going through the list and explaining what each aspect meant. I said, you know, a true knight, he loves God with his heart, soul, mind, and strength, everything that's in him. Are you guys up for the challenge? And they're like, yeah. It helps that I had three.
Yes.
Their energy fed off each other.
Absolutely.
But I went through and I just briefly talked about them. And then we proceeded over the next couple of weeks. We would go and do battles. And so they would dress up in full armor and we'd walk over to the park. I'm sure the neighbors gave us the strangest looks. And I let them do play battles. And we talked about what was battle etiquette and how you would never stab a man in the back and just things like that, the benefit of the high ground. And so I engaged them in their love for battle play and their bent towards action. Okay. And then I also tied it into a true knight battles with integrity.
Okay.
And he lives up to the code. And so I would tie their battle play into real life and how you were supposed to embody integrity in everything that you did.
You saw this translate into their regular lives?
Yeah. And so the challenge at that age, I put up a little sticker chart and I said, okay, when I see feats of chivalry, I'm going to call it out and let you guys know. And so, yeah, so they were just on the lookout. How can I be a knight in training? How can I embody chivalry? And so when my sister pulled up the next week and she had a baby and a toddler and she's, you know, grappling with the car seat and everything, and they go running out, Aunt B, what can we help you bring in? And so they're just like holding big diaper bags and bringing things in, and their little chests are puffed out because they are just so excited that they are helping her. And so they would look for opportunities to open my door for me. Or when we were at the park and we saw a kid who was lonely, I said, hey, you know, a true knight looks out for those who are weak or struggling, and that boy looks lonely. Why don't you go over and talk to him? And so we talked about what it means to protect the weak. And it's not just someone who's hurt at that moment, but it's someone who's struggling. And when someone is struggling, we go over and we help.
And so they did it.
And so they started doing it.
I love that.
And that was just, it was fun because they were internalizing it and it was something exciting and it just, it felt like an adventure. Yes. And that's what I wanted for them, is to see that being a man, being a human being, really is an adventure. And if we look at it that way, it makes us a lot more purposeful in how we live and how we interact with other people.
Yeah. Well, I got to say, I'm really impressed that you went with that and made that, like, just created this whole situation. I love it.
Yeah.
Because my kids are constantly fighting each other with swords and things, but it never occurred to me to turn it into an actual teaching moment. I just say, do that outside. So, way to go.
Sometimes I do that too.
Okay. So, I love the book and all the practical tips that are in it. I love that you spend some time doing different things that they could do for physical training to get their bodies ready, and chore ideas based on their ages, and just the importance of getting their energy out. Like, it is so funny. Do you remember that movie, The Good Dinosaur? When have you seen it?
I don't think I have.
Oh, it's I think it's a Pixar animated whatever about a boy and a dinosaur. And anyway, so there's these three dinosaurs and they pop out of the eggs, and one's a girl, and the other one pops out and just immediately starts beating everything with a stick. And I'm like, that's my son, you know, and he's not even all the way out of the egg and he is beating things. And so my son will come up and just punch me, you know, and he's playing and he's not trying to be mean, and it doesn't hurt. But I'm like, wow, it's just in there, you know? And so I love, like you said, working with what they've got instead of against it and thinking like, what's wrong with you? Why do you have so much energy? Like, no, he's exactly how God made him.
Right. Yeah. Well, that's what someone asked me, why, you know, if a girl could do this. I'm like, well, yeah, a girl could. And a lot of these principles are timeless and they're for all of us. In fact, when I really sit and think about the code, it really causes me to rethink how I'm living my life and am I setting an example to my children. But with boys, like, we want the same things. We want our children to be empathetic. We want our children to have compassion. But how we motivate boys towards those ends is different than how we motivate girls.
Okay.
So like I said earlier, girls are really relational oriented. And so they've done studies, like, girls want to do things to please a teacher. Girls want to do things to please the people around them.
Okay.
Okay. Especially the adults, the authority figures around them. Boys don't really care about impressing their mothers and their teachers. Uh-huh. What they do care about is impressing the other boys around them and having bigger muscles, moving more, and those kind of things. And so if we can work with their bent, their desire to move all the time, their thirst for adventure, their cravings for battle, if we go with that instead of fighting those things, then we have an opportunity to help them develop empathy, help them develop compassion, because we're connecting with the way they're wired instead of fighting against it and communicating to them that they're somehow defective.
Yeah, because, yeah, they do internalize that and it changes everything. I loved a quote you had that it's really important for you to protect childhood and honor boys for who they are wired to be with an eye to the future. I think that's the part we forget is what's cute now isn't going to be cute when they're 16 or when they're 35 and living in your basement playing video games. Not going to be cute.
No, and it helps us to be purposeful because parenting is hard. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've had some moments this week where I am just going, oh my gosh, I want to run away. Yeah. And it's hard. And yet if we look towards the end goal, what is it that we want for our children long term? It helps us to be faithful in the mundane. It helps us to be faithful when it is really hard.
So good. What else would you like to talk about? Is there anything more about the book that you want to talk about?
I think what was really interesting as I went back and I was writing this book this last year, because it's now been 6 years since we first embarked on night training.
Okay.
I think what surprised me the most was how much we internalized it.
Okay.
And so on paper, I did keep up the code for probably 2 years because I don't decorate very much. So it just sort of, it's up and I'm not touching it.
It's perfect.
But we weren't intentional. It's not like we talked about night training every day. Okay. We weren't referring to our poster all the time for years and years, but it had a subtle impact on the way we interacted with each other. It had an impact when we were speaking into our sons' lives about our role as the authority in their life. And so I talk in the book about embracing the idea that you are the king or queen of your home. And that had made such an impact on our family. And we kept circling back to that and just reminding our boys that you may not agree with our decisions now, but as the king and queen of the home, we get to make the shots. We are making decisions based on what's best for you because we are preparing you because someday you are going to rule your own realm.
Yeah, because it helps them have the end in mind, right?
Right.
So much of the time we aren't thinking of the future and neither are they.
Yeah.
And we're all pretty mad about right now.
We're reacting like you are disobedient instead of, wow, we need to work on having a heart that responds to authority, because if you don't know how to follow, you can't ever lead. And so you must first learn how to follow. And so we would just circle back to that and remind them and even free them up. You know what? When you're an adult, you can eat Cocoa Puffs every day, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. But right now we're the parents and we say no. Yeah. And here's why.
Yeah.
But we make the decision, and someday you will get to make that decision. But that time is not yet.
I like that it also gives them, it gives you guys common language, and it's kind of magical. And like, you know, in that it's, we think of knights and we think, oh, castles and all that kind of stuff. And, and so it gets their attention in a language that everybody understands, but it also is kind of a whole lot more fun than I'm the boss of you.
Yeah, because I said so.
Yes. So good. I love that it made an impact. And my daughter was like, why didn't you write a book about girls? So are you going to write one for girls? Because my daughter is waiting.
I don't know. I am not a stereotypical girl.
Okay.
So I was a total tomboy growing up, which I do talk about in the book, because that's one thing I thought I totally got boys. And I was basically a boy with girl parts. And I'm not. So I don't know. I've been asked that a couple times, and I will just sort of have to see what happens.
Okay. Do you have a resource that you know of for moms who have girls that you see somewhat parallels what you've done?
I haven't looked a whole lot.
Okay.
Which I am working on changing because my daughter's 5. I think for the longest time, she was the baby.
Yeah.
And I was so focused on boys and getting boys because I had 3 of them.
Yeah.
And I came from a family of all girls. So I just sort of felt like I was really behind on things.
Yeah. And you're a researcher, so you're busy.
Yeah. So I don't know. I would love to do something someday because I do. I look back at the way I was raised and I felt like I was raised to be strong and yet to embrace femininity. So just how those two go together. It would be a different book, though. Like, this is based on a historical. So I don't know.
I believe in you, Heather. I think it's coming. I think it's next. Okay, so something I loved that you said in your answers to me was that you've learned to kind of embrace the chaos. You don't love sweeping all the time and cooking all the time and everyone just eats all the food. But it's more work to create things like you've created and do all the plants, but you realize how valuable it is. And that was really good for me to hear because I sometimes just am looking at the dirty floors and thinking, I just mopped this. Why is there mud?
Right. When we step back and remember our children are children and they only have one shot at childhood. And when we start to recognize the value of their play, that helps me. So I constantly, when the mud is getting tracked inside, I'm going, okay, they're making memories. They are working with their bodies. They are outside pretending. And the imagination has such a powerful impact. Those things, I guess, are coping mechanisms for me. If I focus on why is this good, it helps me live through the challenge of it.
Yeah, I mean, that's just good for life in general. But yeah. I think as moms, the floors and the house and all the chaos can be a little wearing in this stage. Okay, so I loved your self-care idea. I promise you, I've never had this as an answer. But what do you do to wind down?
So I have two things. One, I did a lot more when my kids were younger. And it is a little weird. I blow bubbles.
I love it.
All by myself. So especially when my kids were little and you couldn't get away. Mm. You can't leave the house. I would go on the back porch. So I would get everybody in cribs or locked in bedrooms. And I would go out and I would just take deep breaths and I would blow bubbles.
That's true because it involves the breathing too.
Yeah. And so it would just calm me down. I would look at the beautiful bubbles. And I didn't just do this when my kids were little. And maybe this is what's sort of embarrassing. I started doing this in college. And it was my way of managing stress during finals.
Like, how did you discover this? Did you say, oh, I just feel a need for bubbles? Or did someone tell you about it or what?
Well, because I went to college in the late 90s, early 2000s. Mm-hmm. I graduated in 2001. Mm-hmm. And so at that point, there were wedding bubbles.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it was like the thing to do. And so I just had a huge collection of wedding bubbles. Okay. And so they ended up in my backpack at school. And I remember just one day being really stressed out. And I'm looking at that going, I'm going to blow bubbles. Just deep breaths and I'm blowing bubbles. And it just helped center me. It calmed me down. And I was able to manage the stress of that moment. And so that's just something that's always kept with me. And
yeah, well, let me tell you something that I don't tell a lot of people, but it's because it just really doesn't come up. My husband is the same way. He loves blowing bubbles. Mm-hmm. He like has his own bubbles that nobody else can touch.
Yep.
Because they're the special kind that like land on things and don't go away. Have you seen those?
No.
Oh, they're amazing. So they just land on things and stay.
Wow. Okay, yeah. I'm going to have to go get those.
Yeah, you can get them at, it's a homeschooling store. It starts with an L.
Oh, Lakeshore Learning?
That place has these bubbles and it's very thick.
Okay.
And I one time went into Pottery Barn at Christmas and everything was covered in bubbles. And I was like, what is happening in here? It's so magical. It looked like snow. And it was those bubbles. And then I saw them at Lakeshore. So look into them.
Okay.
From one bubble loving family to another.
Perfect. Thank you.
You're so welcome. Oh, that's so, so good. And then you also said you take a walk around the block.
Yeah. When the kids were little, I would take them for a walk. So if you're all super cranky, it was just like, get out of the house and go for a walk. But now that my kids are older, because I need the space, I just need a little bit of quiet.
Yeah.
I go for a walk around the block by myself and it helps calm me down and I walk back in and I'm ready to face the chaos again.
Yes. So you are homeschooling all of them?
I am right now, yes.
Okay. What do you love about it for a mom who's wondering if that's something she should do?
I love the time it gives us together and the flexibility we have to work on heart issues, not just the academics.
Okay.
Because those things, they just crop up at the most inconvenient time.
Mm-hmm.
And it's nice to be able to put other things aside and address that. I did a lot when they were really little. And then we sort of went through that middle period where it was blissful. And then now we're sort of entering into stuff where I'm having to be a little more engaged.
Okay.
As they're getting older and coming into their own and hormones are in play.
So how do you manage school? Like, because I'm just trying to think of next year when I have two who I'm homeschooling and they're just like, oh, it's just so loud. You need to be quiet. But the other one has a question and nobody's on task. And all of a sudden, like, nobody's even in their chair or in the room. Where did all the kids go? You know, like, I feel like I'm going to be herding cats. So what do you do? I feel like you have a system.
I don't know. Some days it is just the grace of God that we make it through the day. There are days that my husband comes home and finds me in the fetal position.
Okay. That's really good to hear that.
And there have been days where I have researched schools and then I discovered that to send my kids to a private school here would cost me almost $50,000. So I do that. And then I work to have a balance of things they can do independently and things they can do with me. And then we try to do the bulk of our stuff together. So the history and the science stuff, we do it all together.
So it's like a small little classroom type of a thing.
Yep.
Okay, that's good. I'm a little nervous about this. I'm pre-nervous. I'm getting ready for August by ramping up. I need to go blow some bubbles just thinking about this.
Yeah. Keep your bubbles handy and pray. Pray.
Awesome. Well, I have one more question for you. What can you not stop talking about right now?
Mexican food.
Okay. We need to talk about this because I have different opinion from you. And we both used to live in Arizona and now we both live in Texas.
Oh my goodness. Then yes. So I am a Mexican food snob.
Okay.
I make a lot of my own Mexican food.
Okay.
My husband's coworkers back in Arizona totally thought I was this weird Mexican hippie lady because he would regale them with all the weird stories about me. And then he would come in with homemade Mexican food. So I love Mexican food.
Have you always?
Yeah.
So you just like making it as authentic as possible?
Oh yeah. I make my own refried beans. Like I can't stand it out of a can.
It's great.
So people would rave about their Tex-Mex because we're in Texas and everything in Texas is bigger and better. And I just wasn't into it until we visited Torchy's Tacos. And then I just was hooked. And okay. So I was dragging my husband down there all the time.
So what do you get at Torchy's?
The Democrat.
What's on it?
It is barbacoa, and then there's some kind of weird cheese and cilantro and an avocado. And it's just, yeah, it's one of those things. Like, I was so obsessed. I went out on Twitter and I tweeted at them. And this was during our very volatile election last year.
Okay. Uh-huh.
And I'm like, it's the one time I cross party lines every single visit.
So funny. Do you feel bad like saying it, like ordering it?
No shame. So I love it.
I love their wall of, at least our Torchy's has a wall of reflectors. It's a cute atmosphere in there.
No, it's really good. And I love all the tacos. So.
Okay. But I got to say, I am not a big fan of Tex-Mex and I don't understand. I feel like Arizona Mexican food is better. I'm still there.
Yeah. We did go out for Mexican tonight someplace else and there was a lot of queso and I didn't like it.
Yeah. We didn't have that in Arizona, do we?
I don't think so.
I don't remember all the queso fanatics. And you talked about something called play silks, and I wanted to hear more about that.
So play silks are just, they're these squares of one color silk. So that it's a red silk or a blue silk. I love them so much, especially when our kids were younger. We would give them as birthday gifts to every single birthday party we went to. And you would see the mothers would look and go, okay, two pieces of cloth.
Okay.
What's the big deal? But they are magic in the hands of a child. And so a simple square of silk can be turned into a cape, a dress, a sarong. You can tie them together and we make medieval armor with them. We will put them over the head and do a little bandana thing. And it's a Bible costume. We will lay a blue one out on the ground and it's a river. You'll bunch up an orange one and all of a sudden you have a campfire.
So good.
It is the ultimate open-ended toy. And I love them so much that we would take them on vacation because they weigh nothing.
That's such a good point.
We would go on vacation and I would pack the suitcase full of everybody's clothes and then I would toss in like 6 or 7 play silks. And then when we got there, they would be able to put them on and go outside and play. And it was almost like they had a little piece of home without hauling.
Oh, that's nice.
A big piece of home.
Yeah. So. An annoyingly large, needing batteries piece of home.
Right.
That's a great idea. My daughter has a friend and she, for her birthday party, did kind of like a Indian dancing. I can't remember what it's called, but so they got, and I can't remember what the long piece of cloth is called either that they kind of dance with. So I have no good vocabulary for this conversation. I should have done a little research, but that piece of fabric has been at our house and has been through the ring. I keep saying, yeah. Can we throw this piece of fabric? Like, this is a gnarly piece of fabric now. It's been years and it's white. So I'm like, ah, but they won't let me because it's been all the things. So I can imagine this being really good for kids.
Yep. I can't stop talking about those two.
Where do you get them? On Amazon or where?
I think you can get them on Amazon. I used to get them from a place called a Toy Garden. I think they still have them. atoygarden.com. You can find them on Amazon. Just Google Play Silk. Be prepared. They're a little pricey. They can be anywhere from $10 to $15 per silk, okay. which you would look at and go, oh my gosh, it's a square fabric.
Okay.
But because they're so versatile and they take up no space and they're beautiful. Like, okay. I don't know about you, but when I look out, our floor is strewn with garish, bright colored, loud toys. I just want to shoot myself.
Yeah.
But if I look out and there's just beautiful flowing silks out, it doesn't send me over the edge.
Because it's somehow so peaceful.
Yes.
I love
and
it.
With boys, you can't hurt each other.
Oh,
no, I won't say you can't. I can now think of a couple things that you could probably do. But it's not like wooden blocks or things like that that you can hurl at somebody and do some serious damage.
Yes. We are constantly beating each other with swords. And I mainly by that mean my son is constantly hitting everybody with swords. So yes, a silk sounds so much more pleasant. So, okay, where can people get your book? Everywhere?
Everywhere. It should be available in most bookstores, Amazon, Barnes & Noble.
Can I just ask you, because we're like friends, what does it feel like to say, oh, you can get my book anywhere? Like, it's no big deal. That's got to be exciting.
Yeah, it feels really weird, very surreal.
Okay.
I was the child that hated writing, so it's just pure irony that this is where we're at.
I love it. Well, I'm so excited for you. Thank you so much for, honestly, all the work that you put into this. And I know that it's really blessed your sons. And I'm excited for all the other boys who are going to benefit from all of your research.
Wonderful. Well, thank you.
All right. So re-listening to that episode just now, it makes me so thankful that God made us all so differently. I am quite sure that I am not the mom who would ever have come up with that idea, but I'm sure the mom who wants to buy things that people with those ideas make. So good. And yes, I do have to re-listen to all the episodes. You'd be amazed at how much I don't remember what we talked about because I'm so busy trying to think of the next good question. It's kind of exhausting, but super fun. Not complaining. I'm just saying I definitely have to go back and listen because I have no idea what happened. And it's funny the amount of women I interview who at the end they say, I have no idea what I just said. So we all kind of go into this trance-like state where we don't even know what's happening. And we do it all for you. By the way, I did look for a girl-centered type of a thing like this, and Dr. Dobson has a book called Bringing Up Boys, but he also has one called Bringing Up Girls. I haven't read it, but I'm sure it's probably good because Dr. James Dobson is great. So I put a link to that in the show notes that you can find at momstrugglingwell.com. So what will your strategy to struggle well be based on what Heather said this week? Maybe you get her new book and you do it in your house. You get some night training going on up in your house. Maybe your kids are interested in something else and you can make that into some fun activity. Maybe this week you try blowing bubbles with no kids around. I put a link to my favorite bubbles in the show notes. Maybe this week you go to Arizona and you eat Mexican food there because no offense, Texas, Arizona Mexican food is better. I don't want to hear about it either unless you have been to Arizona and you've tasted it because I promise there's just something about it. It's amazing. Maybe you sign up for Prep Dish at prepdish.com/MSW and you work on this week's prep today because I am behind and I'm doing my prep today. That is what I'll be doing when I'm done with the show. But please make sure that if you're going to Amazon to buy any of the things you heard or you need to buy some early Christmas presents or it's about to be 4th of July and you buy so many 4th of July presents, I don't even know what that would look like. But if you're buying 4th of July presents, please use the Mom Struggling Well affiliate link. It really does help cover the cost of the show. If you go to momstrugglingwell.com/Amazon, you will be giving a tiny percentage of the cost of your purchase back to the show to cover my costs so I can continue to produce this for you every week. It is my joy. But I'm telling you, I do not have a money tree in my backyard. I keep looking. There just isn't one. So this week, I just realized I could look and see what you guys buy. Do not worry, I cannot see who buys it, but I can see what you buy. And so I looked, and this week, my very favorite thing that somebody bought was prenatal vitamins. So I just want to say congratulations on your pregnancy. I wish I didn't have to find out like this. Maybe next time you send me a text, you know, I mean, I thought we were friends, but congratulations. Somebody's pregnant. I hope I didn't ruin the surprise, but since I don't know who you are, it's kind of impossible. But listen, lady, we're all totally rooting for you. All right, guys, thank you so, so much for tuning in. You're really a fantastic group of human beings. I can hear that my kids are back from the pool, so I gotta go. I hope you have a great week of struggling well.
Hi, Mom.
Hey, Mom.
Hi, Mom.
Hello, Mama.
Hello, Mama.
Hello.
I thought I would come into you.